The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I must just say, I just find it safer to just speak in a bad French accent, and that way people think you're speaking French. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
Absolutely, but now everybody knows. Either way, we continue with American media. The New York Times says that Israel has claimed responsibility for the IRGC assassination.
Well, according to the New York Times, certainly no friend of Israel, but they often are correct in this, and they're the only publication that I am seeing reporting that Israel has taken responsibility. As we know, just a couple of days ago, a colonel from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, Quds Force, an officer, Colonel Hassan Sayed Kodayari, was shot dead in his vehicle. This was a scene, really, from a movie. Two men on motorbikes came up to his car where he was sat and pumped 5 bullets into him, killing him outright. So the New York Times have published a story saying that Israel has informed the United States that we were responsible for assassinating Kodayari. And according to the article, this was an intention to send a warning to the Iranians to stop the operations of the IRGC's terrorist unit. And what is very interesting is that Iran have never confirmed the presence or the existence of such a unit. But from Israel's side, with the assassination was made public, Israel said, you know, this was a man that was responsible for planning some of the most horrific attacks against Israeli citizens all around the world, including in Europe, in Africa, including the 2012 Bangkok bombing, and that he was planning to carry out more attacks against Israelis. And we are familiar with some of the plots to try and kidnap or harm Israeli businessmen in places like the UAE or Cyprus or South America. And it is believed that Kodayari was the mastermind behind that, behind what they call Unit 840's Middle East operation. So Israel sending a very, very strong message to the Iranians that if you're planning on hurting us in any way, we will get you wherever you are, even if it is in the streets of Tehran. And of course, we have heard from the Iranians threatening reprisals against the assassination of Kodayari, and in his funeral just 2 days ago, the chants of death to Israel and their allies.
Is this a shift for Israel? Because we don't often hear of Israel making publicly known their behavior or something that they've done in this regard.
Well, first of all, this is published in the New York Times, so no other publication has published it. And I think it's a new kind of tactic by Israel we have seen employed in the last couple of years. Remember, we had that PSYOPs or psychological officers, as it's called here, against Iran's proxy Hezbollah, where we showed footage of them maybe hitting some Israeli soldiers during an operation, but it proved not to be true. But there was psychological warfare involved there. And I think Israel might have changed tack to engage more psychological warfare and using this kind of tactic. We also know with training exercises now, when we do see other countries training in Israel, we have that massive 22 country training air drill in Israel just last year. Our massive drill taking place at the moment, I'm sure those of you with Red Alert apps have seen the messages popping up on a daily basis. We're testing here, we're testing there. These are all sending messages to Iran. We are flexing our muscles, we are prepared. If you're going to come for us, we're going to come for you just as strongly. So I think there are many different layers to kind of dropping the hint that Israel may or may not be responsible for this.
It's fascinating to me because we definitely are seeing a little bit more of a shift where they're using this type of event even as a threat and as a warning, and it's not just going underneath the radar as I think it used to. So it is quite fascinating, and I wonder what kind of a success they are having. But it is something that we will need to follow. Is there fear amongst, or not fear, but is there concern amongst Israelis and particularly even Israelis abroad in terms of embassies that there will be reprisal?
Well, I think all the embassies, when something like this happens, tighten up their security and receive warnings. And there probably are concerns with the communities around the world that, you know, something could happen to make sure that security is strengthened, is tightened. But, you know, the message to Iran from Israel is, just as you think you have very far-reaching tentacles, so do we. And if you are planning on hurting us anywhere, we are going to get the masterminds responsible for that anyway. You are henceforth put on notice for that. And of course, now where the talks around a possible nuclear deal are all but non-existent, and we know that Iran is enriching more and more uranium and getting closer and closer to the possibility of a nuclear bomb, that, you know, we cannot mess around. We have to be extra vigilant. So all our installations around the world will probably be beefed up and receive that message loud and clear as well.
Yeah, and of course, this will be a story that will be ongoing. As will this one. We spoke yesterday about CNN and their finding that Israel targeted the Al Jazeera journalist. Who was behind this report?
Well, this is just extraordinary. So we spoke a little bit about the report as it was making the news. And now, of course, a lot of us have sat down to look at the report and to weigh up the evidence that we have. So first of all, yesterday we discussed the fact that they played the audio, which I find suspect as it is, from a supposed eyewitness. Now, we have to remember several things. First of all, any eyewitness under the Palestinian Authority is not necessarily going to give you an honest account. They're going to give you the agenda. Second of all, we can't forget something very important. When the story broke, the footage circulated all over social media, and we clearly heard the words, we hit one, we hit a soldier. I think if you recall back, I think it was now 2 or 3 weeks ago, the audio, we hit a soldier. And the conjecture here was perhaps it was Palestinian gunmen thinking that they had hit an IDF soldier. As we now know, the person that was hit fatally was Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. But, you know, don't let the facts get in the way of pushing an agenda here, Howard. And I've noticed it on social media as well. Some lovely gentlemen with some lovely advice to me on Twitter told me, you know, I'm nothing but an anti-Palestinian bigot, Hasbara Forcer, because I can't look at the facts. But the facts were there as the story was breaking. Second of all, we still have not received the bullet for ballistics testing. But CNN brought on a expert in inverted commas called Chris Cobb Smith, and he was presented by CNN as an explosive weapons expert and security consultant and British Army veteran. Now, a closer inspection, because, you know, no Israeli journalist is going to rest on their laurels, everybody wanted to check out who Mr. Cobb Smith is. And here is Mr. Cobb Smith for you, everybody. First of all, the evidence that he presented were bullet strafings or strikes on a tree in a picture. I don't know about you, but if I was a lawyer and I put him in the witness stand, I would ask him the question, have you examined the bullet?
Yeah, I think that's the first question, not an unreasonable one.
Have you physically examined the bullet, which we know he hasn't? So let's take a look at Mr. Cobb Smith. Mr. Cobb Smith has been or worked as an advisor on various projects with a lot of different NGOs. So number one on the list is Amnesty International. Shocker. He was part of Amnesty International's team investigating allegations that Israel committed war crimes during the 2009 Gaza war. And according to NGO Monitor, in an interview posted by Amnesty, he relied on highly questionable evidence, which is I see being repeated now. He was one to make the claim that Israel illegally used white phosphorus.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was subsequently found this was not true, but it was all part of Amnesty International's campaign calling for an arms embargo on Israel, which coincidentally they managed to do in February as well. He also has worked with Al-Haq to train researchers on investigation techniques. He has also worked with the as an advisor for the Forensic Architecture Institute, which also has presented some dubious kind of evidence. He's worked with B'Tselem, and he has also worked with the Palestinian Center for Human Rights. And one of the big issues that we have with the Palestinian Center for Human Rights is their definition of what a non-combatant is. So, and not to mention that the PCHR is also designated as a terrorist organization by the US, EU, Canada, and Israel. So I'm very curious what this means legally. Can action be taken? Can he be discredited for his work with the PCHR? Can CNN be held to account for working with somebody with ties to what is recognized as a terror organization? So this is going to be a fascinating story to watch. But the moral of the story is, if CNN are going to pull on these experts, we have a right to A, question their agenda and hold them accountable for whatever kind of agenda or wrong reporting they seem to be peddling.
The problem is, as we said yesterday, the damage is already done. I'm seeing it all over my social media. Who's surprised? I'm not surprised. This is exactly what we knew had happened. And they have absolutely no real basis for this finding, but CNN is talking about it as though it's fact. Is there a way that they can be held accountable?
Well, I think we as media consumers need to start holding the press more accountable. We need to be working.
But Rolene, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I actually don't know how to do that, because, and I would imagine you're in the same position. If you come out and say, well, look, this is who this guy is, exactly the comments that you got yesterday, oh, well, look at you. You are just, you know, this is just who you are. So you get discredited. But CNN holds a lot of weight, whether we like it or not. They aren't Al Jazeera. Even Al Jazeera holds weight where they shouldn't, especially when it comes to Israel. How do we fight this mammoth press that is very, very clearly happy to peddle anti-Israel and anti-Israel agenda?
Well, I think fighting with the Twitter trolls is not going to do it.
Right.
Because all it's going to do is raise your blood pressure and annoy you and have you reaching for the block button. But I think that the best place of recourse is to actually speak to governments. Is to speak to governments, and they might hide behind, yes, but you know it's a free speech. But there's free speech, and there is wildly inaccurate speech that has very dangerous consequences. You and I have spoken ad nauseum about the link between the media, what the media say, how they frame their narratives, and the rise in anti-Semitism. In fact, I'm writing a dissertation on this very thing. But we do have recourse. In places like the United Kingdom, you've got the Press Ombudsman. In the United States, you've got your state senators and your state congressmen and the very, very government bodies that are responsible. You've got NGOs like CAMRA, like Honest Reporting, who know exactly who to target in different countries to get these issues ironed out and dealt with. Right to the State Department in the United States, say this is the situation, this is who they are bringing on as experts, this is the danger that this type of reporting has, and right to CNN, not, you know, wildly emotive, you are an anti-Semite, I don't trust you type letters, because that holds no weight. Balanced, factual, devoid of emotion.
What about organizations like Honest Reporting?
Definitely Honest Reporting. Definitely Honest Reporting. They know exactly how to put on the pressure. They know exactly which producers to speak to, which decision makers to speak to say, this is not going to cut it. They've also written their own expose on all the things that was wrong with that particular broadcast. But really, right, getting emotional and accusatory is not going to help. Being factual, unemotive, and backing things up with actual facts will get you much, much further.
Yeah, Iris says, I think the only way to fight this is to make media become more accountable for their reporters. This can probably only be done through a lawsuit, because a news piece with an apology and a retraction simply doesn't cut it. The damage is already done. And that's my concern, is this is now formed as fact in the brains and the eyes of many. How that gets and we don't even know if it will. Well, we certainly know it will be. It isn't the fact that it was a deliberate, targeted assassination. We know that that's not a fact. Whether Israel, in error, was responsible for the death is we don't know yet. We simply just don't know this. But the damage is already done, unfortunately.
The damage is done, and as Yair said, a retraction is not going to do it. You have to do something stronger, like we reported an erroneous broadcast, dangerous and irresponsible. Here are the facts. And yes, Israel could be responsible for this, but this is why we need an investigation, so that we can look at the facts, examine the facts, and take the necessary steps to fix this and to hold whoever accountable, even though I honestly believe it was a mistake.
Rolene Marks, it is 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report. Thank you, as always.